Are you one of millions of Americans who are struggling and even in some cases suffering from peripheral neuropathy, painful, numbness, loss of balance, irritating, and sometimes debilitating? Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Byline Broadcast, and I want to introduce you to Christy Steiger and Andrew Steiger of Innovative Wellness Center of Iowa. I tried so many ways, painkillers, ibuprofen, gabapentin, so many different ways. All it did was treat the symptoms. It did nothing that even remotely attempted to reverse the effects of peripheral neuropathy. Chiropractors, countless doctor's appointments, all to no avail. Until I found Innovative Wellness and pain-free, absolutely painless shockwave therapy. Call today. Get online today. InnovativeWellness.Center of Iowa.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and I want to welcome you all back, and I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Mike, how did yours go?
Mine was great. Barbecue, little fireworks, but I understand you're at your old stomping grounds. You had a great book signing.
I did, and we went to Avista Stadium up there in Spokane, Washington. The Indians are in first place, so they had a nice big crowd. The weather was a little too hot, 95 degrees, but the book signing went well. I want to thank all those people who helped me with that event very much. Appreciate it greatly, and got to see my family and friends and all the little kids running around with my two guys, Sophie and Juju.
That sounds fantastic. And we got a lot of soccer going on right now, both in North America and also in Europe. We have the Euro finals coming up, England versus Spain. Your thoughts?
I take Spain. I like them. They're on a roll.
Spain is very dominant. And also over here in North America, we have the Copa America. And we got Uruguay and Panama. Who do you like?
Argentina.
Argentina.
That's okay. I like Argentina.
Argentina with Mr. Messi, of course.
Good.
So, and also Klay Thompson leaving the Warriors, yeah. Splash Brothers, yeah. No more, signing with the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's going to work out really well for the Mavs. They're going to be having another threat. I think it's going to be challenging to have Klay, and he's going to have a team that's got a chance to win.
I just hope he gets the ball enough, because we know that, you know, Kyrie and Luka are very ball dominant. And Michael Kopech becomes the first White Sox pitcher to throw an immaculate inning in more than a century. First, Ron, what is an immaculate inning?
That's when you strike out each hitter with three pitches. You throw nine pitches in the inning, and it's 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. That's the immaculate inning. And he brought the first smile for the Chicago White Sox fans this year, because the White Sox are currently Major League's worst team.
And what's going on with the Yankees right now?
I don't know, but, you know, they have this new kid, I guess, that's coming up and sparking them. But it seems like Aaron Judge has cooled off a little bit. All their other stars have cooled off a little bit. But I expect the Yankees to rebound. I think they're going to be really challenging this year. But Baltimore, I like a whole lot.
Baltimore looks pretty tough. And I understand we're having a very special guest appearing right now. Mr. Fergie Jenkins.
Mr. Ferguson Jenkins, the Hall of Famer with the Chicago Cubs, that was a teammate of mine in 1983, will be joining us right after this break with We'll See About That, coming right up after this. Welcome to the Financial Coach's Corner, presented by BFF Financial and Brad Kreger. Brad, you've been talking a lot about taxes. Is making mistakes on your taxes the biggest problem that people face when they're trying to find financial success?
Hey, Ron. You know, while taxes are really important, the biggest problem I see is that people are fearful. Fear is the biggest problem which keeps people from achieving financial success. I mean, you know, I see people are often fearful for seeing a financial advisor or getting a second opinion or making investment changes as they approach retirement or starting a business or looking into a retirement plan or a different strategy or evaluating tax strategies that they've never heard of. Or getting your estate planning done. I mean, people often think that they have to make that perfect because they're seeing an attorney and they're asking for legal documents to be drafted. But in estate planning, most of the time, it's better to just have something rather than nothing. So what I see it, Ron, is fear of the unknown is the biggest problem that keeps people from having success. Fear is a problem which can impact someone in all aspects of their life. So it's that fear that keeps people from being successful. So my advice, if there's something that you've been wanting to do or been thinking about it, just go do it, get it done. You know, so, you know, Ron, as I've always told you, there's a lot more to achieving financial success than just investing in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and overcoming fear and just trusting yourself is a big part of being successful in your finances. And at BFF Financial, look, we're here to simplify the complex and help our clients better accumulate, distribute, and transfer their wealth. And if anybody in your audience has a question about anything financial, whatever it is, they can reach out to me and I'm happy to answer those questions. Anyway, you guys have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Brad. Appreciate your comments. Hi, I'm Ron Say. When was the last time your accountant, insurance agent, investment advisor, and attorney had lunch together? Never? Well, that's the problem. The experts you currently use are unable to pool their knowledge to benefit you. Interested in a second opinion? Then talk to the financial advisor, Brad Kreger, at BFF Financial. Brad will work through your current investments, insurance, estate, and tax planning. He will give you a written report of his findings and will work with you with your current advisors to fix whatever he finds. Make the most of what you have and keep more of it once you've made it. Get a free consultation with Brad Kreger at BFF Financial. Call 888-908-4BFF. That's 888-908-4BFF. Or you can email brad@bfffinancial.com. Be sure to tell him Ron sent you.
Securities and advisory services offered through Centaurus Financial Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Centaurus Financial and BFF Financial are not affiliated.
They still call me the Penguin. Okay, we are back, and we are here with Mike Gary and Ron Say with We'll See About That. Our special guest here today, Ferguson Jenkins, will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. And please be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. We have a gentleman that had a very distinguished career. He was a teammate of mine when I first joined the Cubs over in 1973, a Hall of Famer, a 20-game winner seven different times, a Cy Young Award winner, won a Gold Glove, three All-Star games, struck out over 1,000 hitters, one of the elite pitchers in the game in its history with 284 wins. Fergie, welcome to the show, and what's going on up there in Canada?
Well, I was home there briefly. I did a stint with the Canadian Hall of Fame. Was up there for 4 days, being part of the participant. That was part of the ceremony. Team Canada.
Oh.
That was in 84 and 87, uh-huh. Which I had an opportunity to be a coach. But the honor was given to them because of the fact that they got voted in and they had that opportunity to be on the dais and have an opportunity to talk.
Fergie, you started your career with the Philadelphia Phillies in 1965. You were later traded the next year to the Cubs, where you had a brilliant career. Do you remember your first day in the big leagues and how you felt?
Yeah, I came up from Little Rock late in September in 65. You know, you're 20, 21 years old at the time. You know, just not amazed, but I worked hard to get that accomplishment. But when it did happen, you know, it wasn't a shock. Like a lot of time players say, well, they get shocked to getting that opportunity to get to the big leagues. I was looking forward to it. And when they called me up late in September in 65, I was aware that I'd earned the opportunity to be a major league player. And I wasn't really surprised. In essence, I really had earned it.
So in 1962, you signed. And who were some of your influences? Where were your big helpers coming from? And how did you develop the style of pitching that you did?
Well, I started pitching in 58. I think I was 15 to 16 years old. And Gene DeJure came to my hometown, an area scout that worked with the Philadelphia Phillies. We had at least 3.5 to 4 winners that we worked on teaching me basically how to pitch. Because I was a first baseman as a kid growing up. They put the long, tall, lanky kid at first. And I started pitching at 15, 16 years old and signed with the Phillies in 62 right out of high school at 18.
So, Fergie, growing up in Canada, obviously you were a baseball player, first baseman, but why not hockey?
Well, I did. That was one of my first sport. I started skating at 4 or 5 years old, and I played through different divisions from Tyke all the way up to junior hockey. And Jean DeJure had come to my hometown as a student teacher, history teacher at the collegiate. And I went to an all-boys vocational school, and he came to see me play hockey one evening at the arena. And we struck up a conversation about playing baseball in the summer, and I told him I was a first baseman, not a pitcher. And he convinced me to start pitching that one summer in, I think it was 58. And we worked together almost 3.5, 4 years of teaching me how to pitch. And then when I graduated in 62, I signed with the Phillies.
Were you a Maple Leaf fan? Were you a Montreal Canadian fan?
Yeah. Huh? Basically Montreal.
Yeah.
Montreal Canadiens. And also the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was a team that was pretty prominent back in the 60s. Mostly Montreal.
Well, they certainly had a great history. I remember my first trips to Montreal in the early 70s, and the Montreal Canadiens were just on fire.
Yeah, Rocket Richard and all those guys.
Those great players that they had, man. They were just throwing them left and right. And I remember I didn't know too much about the game and these line switches. So the first time there was a line switch and I saw all these guys just jumping off the bench, I thought there was a brawl going out on the ice. And I'm saying, what in the world is going on out there? He says, no, that's just a line switch. You know, they come in and
groups. You run like maybe 50, 60 seconds.
Fergie, were you exposed to, I mean, forgive us forgive me at least for my ignorance about Canada and baseball. How were you guys exposed to Major League Baseball up in Canada? Was it broadcast nationally? Were you picking up radio feeds from across the border?
Well, they had the game. Saturday was the game of the week a lot of times. And you've seen the Yankees play maybe Washington or play the Detroit Tigers, or San Francisco was playing maybe the Dodgers. Because they always exposed, I think, top teams that were part of baseball. So I had a chance to see, you know, Mickey Mantle play along with Whitey Ford pitch or with the Giants, Willie Mays and McCovey, and a lot of these players get the opportunity to play against other strong teams. With the Dodgers, with Koufax and Drysdale or Osteen. So there was always that interest that I had. If I had the opportunity to get to the big leagues, it would be wonderful to pitch against some of these top players.
And that happened. And
yeah, it did. It
sure did.
65, yeah. I had that opportunity to pitch against Bob Gibson with my first relief appearance.
Oh, wow.
Against the Cardinals.
Cool. Did you, since you're a Detroit fan, it seems a little bit because they were close, Frank Larry? You remember
Frank Larry, Al Kaline.
Yeah.
I think at the time was and Norm Cash, McAuliffe.
Yes.
I don't think Willie Horton was on that team as of yet, but he ended up being on that team later on. But they had some good players.
Yeah, they did. And I remember some of the matchups. Willie Horton was their power hitter. But these Yankee-Detroit matchups with Whitey Ford and Frank Larry, those are some really pretty good ball games.
I had an opportunity to see a lot of these players play. In Detroit, Al Kaline was super popular with Norm Cash, and I think they had Bob Boone on the team at the time. When I signed with the Phillies and I had an opportunity to see more games in the U.S., I had a chance to see other players perform. So you kind of have a following of players that you'd like to see play, from Frank Howard to Frank Robinson, Brooke Robinson. You know, when he got traded from Cincinnati to Baltimore, I really had that opportunity to see Boog Powell, along with so many different players in the Baltimore organization. So, you know, looking to get to the big leagues and playing in the minor leagues, that was my number one goal. When I started in Class D ball, finally I got that opportunity in AAA with Little Rock. And when they called me up in 65, I said, man, that was not a surprise. I think I earned the opportunity to get there. And the first opportunity was to relieve Jim Bunny.
Oh, there you go.
Traded from the Tigers to the Phillies, and had an opportunity to pitch in relief against the Cardinals.
So you get called up in 65, and over the winter you get traded to the Chicago Cubs. What was your expectation going to Chicago?
Well, I didn't know any players on that ball club. One individual. I played against Glenn Becker in the minor leagues when he was with, I think, in the Pacific Coast League. I think it didn't take but about a week to introduce everybody, you know, from Billy Williams, Ernie Banks, to Kessinger and Becker, Ron Santo. Randy Hundley was one of the catchers. Bill Hans was on that pitching staff. But it took a while to really get, I think, indoctrinated into the ball club, to really understand. The manager was Leo DeRocher, really a tough manager. He wanted the best out of his players. To really understand what he wanted, the focus part of winning on that ball club. Even though that ball club was in last place, he kept forcing the issue. We got to learn how to win. We got to learn how to win to basically move into a top division.
No question. And I, you know, honestly, I felt that the Cub team that you joined back then was probably a lot better than they played. And certainly you had a number of, you know, you had Kessinger, you had Beckert, you had Billy Williams, you had Santo in the infield. That's a terrific infield. You know, two Hall of Famers there and two guys in the middle of the infield that pretty much can do what you need to have done on a daily basis. Not spectacular, but steady. It's tough to win in Wrigley with all those day games, isn't it?
You know, it in some respect, you got to get up early to focus getting to the ballpark, be dressed and on the field at 9:20 to 9:25. Yeah. And the games back then, they started at 1:05. Yeah. Double hitters on Sunday started at noon.
Okay, we're going to be taking a break here. We're going to be back with Hall of Famer Ferguson Jenkins right after this message.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. And we have returned with We'll See About That special guest here, Fergie Jenkins. And Fergie, want to get back to your time in Chicago. Regardless of how tough it was to win in Chicago as a team, you had tremendous success. A number of 20-game seasons. You carved your way. You were one of the best pitchers in the National League. You finally won the National League Cy Young Award in 1971. How were you able to manage that when the team was not playing as well as possibly it could have?
Well, a good thing happened in 1967 when Leo really took over command of the pitching staff with Bill Hands, Kenny Holson, Rich Nye, and myself, and I got the opportunity to be a starter. And then also I got a chance to room with Ernie Banks, an individual that talked and loved the game of baseball. And I think knowing what he taught me and always having that theme that the game is not that tough. You got to learn how to play as a teammate, that the game became a little easier for me. I started winning ball games as a starter. And as you said, I won. That was my first year winning 20 games. It was in 1967. And because of the fact that rooming with Ernie and understanding that the game is about going out there and winning and had good fundamentals. And I think understanding what your teammates are trying to do for you, offense and defense. And I really learned how to pitch to that first full year in the big leagues.
There is a story about Ernie Banks that I want to ask you about since you were in this era with him. Ernie was always best known for let's play two, pretty much a standard line that everybody would have with Ernie Banks and understood that. And when you were playing in Houston without the Astrodome, you were playing at the old Colt 45 Stadium, there was a scheduled doubleheader. And you know how hot it gets in Houston and how miserable it can get. And you've got mosquitoes the size of rats running around in the sky.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they were monsters. And my understanding is Ernie couldn't play the second game. It was too
hot. He hit a triple in the first game, and I think that kind of winded him. He was in his late 30s.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly if he themed the phrase of let's play two.
Yeah.
He couldn't play the second game, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I heard that one a long time ago, and I mean – there's no shame in it. I didn't like playing in Houston. I'm glad that we had the Astrodome for sure. I'm sure it would have knocked a lot of players down, but certainly a story that I wanted to ask you about.
Did you guys like playing doubleheaders because you knew you had an extra day off that week, or did you not look forward to it?
Well,
our pitching staff was pretty much set with, as I said, with Bill Hands, Rich Nye, myself, and Kenny Holzman. And we would work hard enough to make sure we had a set pitching staff. Leo always did it. We had Joe Becker for a while, and we had Robin Roberts as a pitching coach. So we knew what our strength was going to be in pitching. And it, as I said, it all started in 67. We had a best better ball club 68, 69, 70. But the doubleheaders were something that I think we looked forward to playing because of the fact that Wrigley Field was a field that we had a lot of confidence in winning there.
Funny that you say that. My the year that we won in 84, we had a number of doubleheaders, and a lot of it was because of the weather. And we had rain delays in Chicago all the time, especially early in the season. So the doubleheaders did mount up. But when it came time to play those makeup games and they turned into doubleheaders, we didn't lose a doubleheader. We won every single doubleheader. And you're right. I think that there is some kind of a stigma about Wrigley Field. People, it's very hot. The wind is blowing. It's the weather is unpredictable for the most part. I mean, it can be 95 degrees one day and it can be snowing the next. That happened, right? I mean, that happened opening day, I think,
early in
1983,
April, you're right.
You know? And so, yeah, it's not a comfortable factor. So they don't feel comfortable. Plus, there was also night activity. And they were hanging around a lot on Rush Street. So we knew that the visiting team was definitely hanging out at night.
By night activity, you're meaning carousing and
maybe some
alcoholic
beverages. Nightlife, yeah. I mean, it was a time for them because during the regular season, most of those teams, you know, are all playing night games. We're the only ones playing day games all the time. But I do feel, though, that I would have liked to have seen how our club would have played if we had had a few more night games at Wrigley Field. We didn't have that. But, yes, I thought that Dallas Green made it plain and clear that we had an advantage on these guys if we stayed off Rush Street.
Yeah, there's a certain areas, Rush and Division, and there's so many different nightclubs and speakeasies that were down in that area that especially if you don't get the proper rest, if you don't get back to being in your room or sleeping at 2:30, 3 o'clock, you know, in 5 hours, six hours, you got to be back up and get ready to go to the ballpark to try to play a ball game, especially early because the doubleheaders, they start at noon.
Yeah, it's those day games sneak up on you for sure. You are a revered Cub. You're a Hall of Famer. You have numerous records, pitching records. You've done pretty much everything. You also have a statue, as does, and you were there a few weeks ago for the celebration of the 84 team and the statue unveiling for Sandberg. How does it make you feel to be sitting in that that elite group?
Well, to me, I'm super proud of the fact that I had that opportunity to put that Cub uniform on and play as long as I did and had some success. I think what really happens is the fans really appreciate what you're capable of doing. I had decent ability. I had good fans and good players around me that supported what I did as a player. And you know, Ronnie, staying healthy is the number one factor. I didn't get hurt. Those 10 years I played with the Cubs, I never had a sore arm. I always pitched when the opportunity came to put me on the mound. Even when I was in the bullpen that first year in 66, I never missed an assignment going out there pitching. And the same thing was when I became a starter. I started 35 to 40 games in the summer, and staying healthy was so very, very important.
There's no question about that. If you don't have your legs and your health, you're not going to be able to get it done. And it brings bring me to a point, you know, with all the injuries that are going on with pitching arms today, the countless number of Tommy John surgeries. We had a gentleman who pretty much studies pitching fundamentals. His name was Jim Kernel. He was on here earlier in the year. And he can spot these things pretty much because he has done so much research on it. How do you assess what's going on with the young pitching arms today?
You know, I watch a lot of the youngsters because I go to spring training with the Cubs. I see them throw, but they don't throw enough, I think. I threw batting practice quite a bit in the spring to get ready for the season. And they don't throw enough. And to start the season, they try to throw too many pitches, I think, with a force that I think is too much on their arm, and especially on their elbow. Sure, you can throw fastballs mid-90s, but you can't throw a slider and a curveball 90 because of the fact that that puts more pressure on your arm. So I think that changing speeds and location is very important, and especially knowing that you can't throw a slider 95 like you can throw a fastball at the same speed. And I think this is what's hurt a lot of the youngsters that are pitching now. And it starts basically in high school where you see all these youngsters getting Tommy John or shoulder surgery. But in the big leagues, I think once you learn the command of pitches, location, changing speeds, you're going to have a lot more success.
you did not watch a lot of film. We didn't have much film to look at during our playing days. They do today. And what Jim Kernel is trying to say is that he believes there's a lot of fundamental, your fundamental pitching, the whole thing is just kind of out of whack. That they're hurting your arms. They're not throwing the ball properly. They're throwing against their body. Too much torque. He has named a number of pitchers. One of them here just recently, Bobby Miller from the Dodgers, went down. And he spotted this all the way back in spring training. He said he's going to break down at some point during the season. And the Dodgers have had Walker Buehler. Glasnow just went on the DL. Kershaw's trying to come back, and he's been hurt for the last 4 or 5 years. I don't have a way to understand it. We did not have pitchers that hurt their arms as much. And you're accrediting it. You don't think they would they don't throw as much. And I have a tendency to believe that, or at least fundamentally. And if you remember Mike Marshall, the relief pitcher, you know, Mike was a kinesiologist, and he used to – his arm motion and that, he knew inside out and backwards. And he threw every day, even though he pitched in 104 games in 1974.
Yeah, I think that knowing what your capabilities are and knowing your strength is very important as a pitcher. And as you said, there were so many individuals – if they continue to throw well, I think that strengthens your arm. And you can't stop throwing, especially during the season. And I always thought that batting practice was a plus for me. Kept me healthy, kept my arm strong, and never had any arm problems. Yeah. You know, Don Sutton never had any arm problems. Tom Seaver, Marichal, Gibson. There's been so many. Carlton. Yeah. There's been so many pitchers in that era that never had arm problems because I think they threw a lot.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a small break here and be back with Hall of Famer Ferguson Jenkins and talk some more pitching right after this.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
Nope.
Okay, Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right, Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay, no worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I always do my best to prep for summer, but sometimes things just come up. And when they do, Kohl's and their great prices are always there for me. I just shopped their summer cyber sale and saved big on everything I was missing, like summer must-haves under $15, floor care essentials for 50% off, and kitchen appliances for 30% off. Plus, I earned Kohl's cash. So no matter what happens the rest of the summer, I'll be ready. Thanks to Kohl's. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Ooh.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you? Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers. The Dodgers of old LA.
And welcome back. We'll see about that with Ron Say. And this day, week in Dodger history, that is, presented by BFF Financial, 1995. Ramon Martinez throws the 22nd no-hitter in franchise history when he beats the Marlins at Dodger Stadium 7-0. The Dodger right-hander walks Tommy Gregg on a 3-2 pitch with one out in the seventh inning, spoiling his bid for a perfect game. Mr. Jenkins, Fergie Jenkins, Hall of Famer, great guy, dominant pitcher, legend. Thank you so much for coming on. And I always like to ask this question of any of the great pitchers we've had on this show. Who is the one player that you knew you had his number? And also, who's the one player, too, that you faced where you're like, ugh, this is going to be a tough one right here?
Well, I don't think you really have their number. A lot of times they get themselves out. I had a lot of really success when I went to the American League against Reggie Jackson because of the fact that we have spring training at Cactus League. We've seen each other quite a bit. Oakland was in Mesa, and the Cubs were in Scottsdale.
Right.
Had some success against some other named players, Mays, Clemente, in the American League. You know, Rod Carew was a tough out. And I always gave him a lot of credit, having hit the ball the other way. And I would always throw all sinkers down and away, let him beat that ball on the ground or hit a pass short or pass third base. But there are some people that you're just not going to get out. You're just not going to get them out. So I look back a lot of times. It's a credit to what they were doing, too. Pete Rose was a great fundamental contact hitter. When I look back, a guy that gets that many for 4,000 hits, he's going to get you from time to time.
You mentioned Rod Carew. I wouldn't feel too bad about that. You know, there are 7 batting titles, I think, attached to his name, and he hurt a lot of people. Who was a guy that wore you out?
You know, probably because the fact that Pittsburgh is in our division, the Eastern Division, because we only had 2 divisions. You know, I had to pitch a lot against Pittsburgh. So I think Clemente, from time to time, was an individual. He was a tough out. He's going to get his hits. I had some success against Stargell, some against Manny Sanguian, and Richie Hebner. But Clemente was tough.
Yes, he was, and he got 3,000 hits to prove it. And what a great player. I missed the opportunity because of that plane that went down on the December 31st and the playing against him the next year. So I was there for that. It was the entire island of Puerto Rico was mourning, and they lost a great player, great guy. He played for Santurce. Did you ever get to play in Puerto Rico at all?
Yeah, I was in I played 2 seasons with Caguas.
Oh, you played Caguas, okay.
64 yeah. and 65. Yeah. I had a chance to face Cepeda, Clemente, Pancho Herrera. A lot of the players that didn't go back to their homeland, especially Pancho, I think it was Cuban.
Yeah.
Tony Taylor, Ruben Amaro, Cookie Rojas. A lot of them played winter ball in Puerto Rico. So I had a chance to face a lot of good Latin stars at the time.
Oh, yeah. We had on our club some of the island players. We had Tony Perez and Juan Pizarro. And Juan Pizarro was he had a great –
He was a hell of a thrower.
Yes, he was.
He had a great arm.
Yes,
Juan.
He did. He was our best pitcher during that year. And, of course, we were fortunate enough to win the championship there and go to the Caribbean World Series in Venezuela. Want to ask you a bit about today's game. There's enormous changes being made. I call it manipulation. I'm going to throw some things out there, and you can respond to them as you see fit.
All right.
Pitch clock.
I think the clock has helped some of the pitchers that are not making the right judgment on pitches they throw. So I think it sped the game up. I think, what is it, 18 to 20 seconds with nobody on and 15 with men on. And I think it's kept the hitter in the batter's box a little more. And you got to make a decision, even though sometimes the decision is coming from the bench. You got to tell yourself that this is a pitch I think is going to have that opportunity to get hitters out. So the clock has really helped, to me, some respect, some of the pitchers.
I like the pitch clock as well. I think it allows the infield to stay focused. You don't wander too far away. The action's going to start fast. 70% of the game is played in the infield, so I think it's important for you to be in sync. And so I'm for the pitch clock as well. The enlarged bases.
Yeah, that's a new thing now. Bases are 3 or 4 inches wider. And you see the hitters, once they get on base, they have that, what they call that oven mitt, which is an extra 3 inches. So when you can slide into a bag and be able to touch the bag and possibly be safe, unless they have a replay of calling the individual back and seeing exactly what the play was. But the bag's wider. I'm not sure if that's helped down the lines, maybe. But stealing bases at second base, I think it's really helped.
Yeah, I think they invited old school baseball back in by enlarging the bases. It went from a strikeout home run game to we need to create some action here. So I don't necessarily like the fact that they had to enlarge the bases to bring stealing back into the game, but I'm glad stealing's back in the game. In extra innings, we start the inning off with a runner at second base.
That's something that I'm not sure if that's an important part of the game now. A lot of guys and managers don't like it because of the fact that if you've got an individual that has great bat control, he can sacrifice himself and get that runner to third, and now you've only got one out. And you can score so many different ways with runner on third base with only one out. It's just something that has been put in the game. No more extra innings. When the 10th inning starts, that runner starts at second base. It's helped some teams, especially if they're defensively are not a team that hits a lot of home runs, but you have good bat control and guys can hit and run a lot of times.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of it. I think it's a cookie. If you're trying to shorten the length span of the game and you get to extra innings, I don't think that's going to affect Dodger fans because they're going to go home whether it goes into extra innings or not. And at that point in time, I think you're giving a cookie to two teams that have battled hard and deserve to earn it rather than just have something just end it, just like a broken bat single is going to end the game.
Also, doesn't that mess with the numbers the most? I mean, because you have multiple statistics involved there. You have on-base percentage as well as runs scored by a player. And so if you're automatically awarded second base in extra innings, does that count against your on-base percentage? And also if you do score?
I think it's the last guy that makes the out in the inning prior, right, that goes out there. And as far as
I'm not sure. A lot of times they put the fastest runner.
That would make a lot of sense. Yeah.
On second base so that they could take that advantage because of the fact that if you've got some – an individual that has a lot of foot speed, he can score so many ways from third base.
Out. There's like 9 different ways, I guess, to score from third base. I want to ask you one more thing. These guys started getting mic'd up during the game, and they started experimenting with that in the All-Star game. And now they have it in the basic agreement as this is going to be happening. The players and owners have decided that they're going to allow players to be mic'd up for a half inning and at the cost of $10,000 per half inning and raising that to $15,000 during postseason. How do you feel about guys being mic'd up and doing live interviews when they're playing defense?
Yeah, that's changed the game in some respect. You know, I think it could take away some concentration, especially if you've got a guy in the infield, especially at first, or somebody maybe in center field that his concentration is trying to understand where the pitch is being thrown and when the ball's being hit, where he's got to go to to cut the ball off or catch it. I think the interviews in the dugout are fine. Players that are not playing, interview them or interview the manager, but not the players that are on the field. I think it takes away some of from your concentration.
Well, to me, it's challenging integrity. I can tell you two different cases here that I've read about or seen over the last month, and it both happened in the infield. They were both being interviewed at the moment the ball was hit to them. They were both distracted, made an error, cost them a run, and just so happened that one of those guys was Kike Hernandez. And Kike was
all right.
Kike Hernandez was asked after the game, was, and he said, "Kike, do you think you might reconsider getting mic'd up during defense?" And he said, "I don't think so. I'm getting paid, and I like getting paid." And right there, he lost me. Right there, he just absolutely lost me. I think that as a pitcher, if you have your shortstop being mic'd up, Fergie, I think you'd probably – I know Gaylord Perry would probably look at the shortstop and say, yeah, you better take those things off.
A lot of pitchers that would be concerned. Gibson would probably, Carlton, yeah. Seaver, myself.
Yeah.
Because the fact that you want the concentration on these players to be on their toes all the time, anticipating that ball being hit to them. So someone talking in your ear, that can take your concentration away.
No question about it. And when you talk about the number of extra inning games that you play on an average, something like 10% of the schedule. So if you're playing 16 extra inning games and you're going into with this expanded postseason number of teams, wild card, everybody but about four teams is involved, any one of these games are important. So I think their concentration needs to be maximized. And if they would have come and asked me if would you like to be mic'd up for this thing, get that thing away from me. Go talk to somebody in the dugout.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah. It's to me, it's not worth it. The game is and the integrity of it.
It could be very, very important. One or two games late in the season could be very instrumental.
Yeah.
For them maybe being a wild card team or maybe winning a pennant.
Yeah.
So. Fergie, robot umps, what do you think about maybe bringing technology to alleviate some of the controversy about a lot of bad home plate umpiring?
Well, anytime you add a plus to the game, that it takes away the concentration or the understanding of what you're trying to accomplish in baseball, because you play so many games. You play 162 ball games, 81 on the road, 81 at home. You always want a good home record, and the road record is proven a lot of times to a ball club that wins a division. So it's just something that you don't need an extra hampering of the ball club.
So I think it's inevitable at some point in time that that robots, they've been experimenting with them for a number of years now, and they keep delaying it, but. I don't think I've ever seen umpiring, at least through Instagram, crucify as many umpires that have during this course of time. But anyway, we're coming to a close, Fergie, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us. You had a brilliant career. I hope that whatever you're involved with your foundation, that it continues to go well, and you've been an asset and a great role model. And you still have that status with the Chicago Cubs. So it was great having you. Great seeing you again.
I love going back to the Cubs. It's a great city. Yeah. City where I had an opportunity to put a couple of marks in my ability to set a few records. And I always look forward to going back. Always a lot of fun.
Yeah, you bet. All right, Fergie, thanks so much for joining us. Be well.
Pleasure.
And be safe.
All right, Ron. Take care.
You bet. Okay, there you have it, Hall of Famer Ferguson Jenkins, and we'll be right back right after this message.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Can't be just fine.
Okay, we are back for our final segment. We'll see about that. Ron Say here with Mike Carey. And Mike, what's happening?
Well, of course, we want to make sure that people check out your fantastic website, the ronsayshow.com, where you can find past episodes. You can also order Ron's book and maybe get a signed copy as well. And make sure to check out The Penguin on Instagram as well. What's your Instagram handle again, Ron?
The Instagram is The Ron Say, The Official Ron Say.
The Official Ron Say. And so you were gone visiting your friends and family in Spokane last week, and so I hijacked the show. Me and Sydney, champion chip coach Sydney, took over the show to talk about what was going on with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I mentioned on the show that you called me last week and said, did you hear the news? And that's a pretty ominous introduction to a phone call. And then you said, the Lakers have signed, or drafted, excuse me, one Bronny James. And now you got about 2 minutes, so you give me your 2 minutes on Bronny James.
Wow. Well, look, I didn't read anything positive from any of the Instagram releases on it. You know, they were claiming nepotism. I don't know. If you're a Laker fan, I would be disappointed. And you're a Laker fan, and I know you're disappointed.
Not anymore.
Okay. But I just think that, you know, it is even more now, the LeBron Lakers. You know, they hired J.J. Redick. No experience necessary.
Well, hold on. He did coach a sixth-grade boys basketball team.
Okay. Well, I'll give him credit for that. The podcast that he did with LeBron. The Lakers did not finish well last year. Okay?
They did not make the playoffs.
They did not. And I don't see where having LeBron and his son play together improves the team. I really don't. I think there's got to be a better choice. He did not come off a stellar year at USC. He was seventh, eighth man at best, played sparing minutes, didn't average much.
The man also had the heart attack.
Yes, he did, and he's dealing with that as well. Yeah. You know, how healthy is he really? How much confidence does he really have? This is a major step for me. I mean, I can rest assured that there are plenty of players that are better equipped to play in the NBA than he is at this particular point in time. And the added pressure coming from the agent saying, you know, don't draft Bronny, he'll go play in Australia or something, I don't think that helps Laker fan understand that very much at all. There you have it. This is the end of our segment here with We'll See About That and our take on the Lakers. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Hi, this is Rick Tittle. Tune in every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Pacific time for the Video Game Review. We'll review games, we'll give away a brand new game, we'll talk cheat codes, new releases, and your calls as well. That's right here every Sunday night on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.